Chapter 2 Heart-to-Heart Transmission. Question. We hear that all truth is present in the scriptures, specifically Srimad Bhagavatam. But how do we know when we are supposed to take the expressions in the scriptures literally or figuratively? How do we understand what the scriptures are really trying to say? Srila Govinda Maharaj. How will we understand anything about the scriptures? We must first enter into a school. When we are admitted into a school, we are given appropriate lessons for our level by our teacher. When I am studying in a school, I pass through class 1 to class 2, then to class 3, and so on. In each class, what I am taught is not exactly the same. Each higher class does not present everything in the same way as the previous classes do. But whatever I learn in each class is appropriate and beneficial for me at my level. The Vedas, Vedanta, Upanishads, Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures are an ocean, and they contain so many verses which have many different meanings. Ultimately, they are all guiding us towards the same goal, Krishna Bhakti, but we are not always able to understand that. Sometimes it is very difficult to see that, actually. Many different practicing processes are explained in the various scriptures, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, and others. If we want to understand the real advice of all the scriptures, if we want to understand where the scriptures' knowledge is trying to take our consciousness, then it is first necessary to faithfully study the scriptural lessons that are appropriate for us in a school, under the guidance of a proper teacher. That is the best process. We must be very conscious about reading the scriptures. The scriptures are not the easiest thing to understand. Srimad Bhagavad Gita explains how a student should approach a teacher to learn spiritual knowledge. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshanaha. Srimad Bhagavad Gita 4.34. Here it is explained that a student must be a little qualified to approach a teacher. Srimad Bhagavad Gita says, first be surrendered, then inquire and serve. Your guru will want to hear your questions and bestow his mercy upon you if you are really surrendered to him. You are humble and you have real hankering. First approach Gurudev through surrender, then serve him. Surrender alone is not sufficient. Surrendered service to Gurudev is the main thing that will give the sincere seeker the proper result in his search for transcendental knowledge. Someone may acquire general knowledge in other ways, but without pranipat, surrender, pariprashna, sincere inquiry, and seva, service, transcendental knowledge will not reveal itself in the heart. When a student is a little qualified in this way and finds a guru who is a qualified teacher, the student must surrender to him, ask him questions and serve him. Everything will be revealed in the heart of the qualified sincere seeker by the qualified guru when the disciple is enriched with these three qualities of surrender, inquiry and service, enriched with a mood of devotion. When that mood is present, everything will be set right. The guru's heart will be melted by that student's sincere approach, and the guru will be ready to teach the student. By this process, the student will understand, through the melted heart of his guru, the essence of all scriptures, everything that is to be found within the Vedas, Vedanta, Upanishads, Srimad Bhagavatam, and the other scriptures. This is how we should try to learn the scriptures. We can see that the scriptures themselves always advise us about the position and necessity of the proper teacher, the sadhu. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami advises us, Yaha Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavera Stane, Antilila 5.131. Quote, go to the Vaishnava, the devotee, and hear from him the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Only read Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of the Vaishnavas. Close quote. Without the Vaishnava, we cannot understand the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam, and we will undoubtedly proceed in the wrong direction. It is necessary to hear the explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam or any scripture from some expert. Only when we hear from an expert can we understand the real meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Our knowledge is very limited. Nobody can say, I am full with all knowledge. Even Srila Guru Maharaj told us, I am a student. You consider yourselves masters? I consider myself to be a student, and all of you to be students. Nobody is a master. It was Srila Guru Maharaj's conception that we are all students. Therefore, we must try to understand what our lessons are from a proper teacher. Through one who understands the essence of the lessons we are to learn, we can easily understand what our lessons are. It is very difficult to understand otherwise. We may make wrong interpretations, not understanding the real meaning of the scriptures, and we may be deceived. It is necessary to hear the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam from a proper interpreter and servitor of Krishna like Srila Guru Maharaj. Srimad Bhagavatam itself has given two formulas for understanding Srimad Bhagavatam. One prescribes reading Srimad Bhagavatam and the other prohibits reading Srimad Bhagavatam. If someone suddenly opens Srimad Bhagavatam and follows what comes in front of them, then they will proceed in the wrong way. It is necessary to harmonize the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam's conception. And who can harmonize it? Only one who knows the fundamental basis and full meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. There are so many things written in the scriptures, and they are no doubt very good things. But because we have limited knowledge, we can also easily misunderstand the words of the scriptures. We must discuss the scriptures with a sadhu to clarify that we are understanding the scriptures properly. Satang prasangan mama virya sangvido bhavanti hritkarna rasayanaha kattaha taj joshanad asvapavarka vatmani shraddha rattir bhaktir anukramishyati. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25.25. The Lord Himself explains in Srimad Bhagavatam, quote, discussions about me heard in the association of my pure devotees nourish your ears and hearts. They fill your souls with ecstasy. Only when someone proceeds in their spiritual life under the guidance of my devotees will they naturally develop proper faith, attachment and devotion. End of quote. What is written in books and what is heard directly from the sadhu are two completely different things. What we may read or hear outside the association of the sadhu is not hritkarna rasayanaha kattaha, nectarian words which nourish our hearts and fill us with ecstasy. Only when we hear from the sadhu are we receiving something in the proper channel, receiving something descending down from Goloka Vrindavan through the hearts of our paramparas gurus, which is perfect and necessary for our spiritual life. Only when we hear in the proper channel from the sadhu is there a transmission of the power which reveals the essence of the scripture's words in our hearts. We are given real entrance into what we hear in the scriptures by the sadhu. Yudhisthira Maharaj was a wise man. He was very qualified and had studied so many scriptures. the Vedas, Vedanta, Upanishads, and so on. He also received much advice from various rishis and munis. But after studying so many things, he was puzzled and could not find a settled position. He thought, "Everything is good, everything is bad. It is good, it is bad. It is good, it is bad. It is good, it is bad." Yudhisthira Maharaj could not conclude what was the proper way to get relief from the illusory environment and become established in a clean position. Lastly, he could only conclude that anyone who tries to discover what religion is simply by reading the scriptures will become crazy. Tako pratishtaha shrutayo vibhinna nasavrishir yasya matang na bhinnam dharmasya tatvang nihitang guhayam mahajano yena gataha sa pantaha. Mahabharat Vanaparva 313-117. Yudhishthira Maharaj said, quote, "We cannot take the advice of the Vedas directly. Our store of knowledge is very limited, and the knowledge given in the Vedas is very vast. The Vedas explain pratyaksha jnana, sensory knowledge, paroksha jnana, collective knowledge, aparoksha jnana, subtle knowledge, and adhoksaja jnana, transcendental knowledge. Also, the rishis who describe Vedic knowledge present many different interpretations of it and are not always perfect. Parasha Rishi presented one conception, Vashishtha Rishi presented another, Chavan Rishi presented another, and so on. There are so many rishis, and they presented many different conceptions. Thus the jiva souls become confused. They do not find the truth with only the scriptures, the different opinions of the rishis, and their own minds. To find the proper conception, we must follow the path of the Mahajans, the great souls, in whose hearts the truth is living." End of quote. Svayambhur Naradaha Shambhu Kumaraha Kapilo Manuhu Pralado Janako Bhishmur Bali Vaya Shakir Vayam. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.20. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Veda Vyas indicated that Brahma, Narad Rishi, Shiva, the four Kumars, Sanak, Sanatan, Sananda and Sanat, Kapiladev, Manu, Pralad Maharaj, Janaka Raja, Bhishma Dev, Bali Maharaj, Shukadev Goswami, and Yamaraj are all Mahajans. These particular 12 Mahajans are described throughout the scriptures and are so glorious. Their primary qualification is that they are devotees of the Lord. Actually, all great devotees of the Lord should be considered Mahajans. Once, many of these 12 Mahajans who are listed in Srimad Bhagavatam were discussing a verse from Srimad Bhagavad Gita about the position of the Lord's devotees, but they could not come to a proper conclusion about it. In the meantime, they saw Srila Bhaktivinoda going by, and they called him over. "O Vaishnava Thakur, you know the proper meaning of this verse. Please come and join us." Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained the verse to them, and they were very happy. Devotees like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur are the greatest Mahajans, and anyone who follows their guidance will be supremely benefited. Labhas teshan, jayas teshan, kutas teshan parabhavaha, yesham indi vara shyamo, hridayasto janadanaha. Pandava Gita. Quote, "Bhagavan Sri Krishna is living in an effulgent way within the hearts of his dear devotees, and his pastimes are always going on there very gloriously. Such devotees are truly great souls, Mahajans, and are always happy and successful." End of quote. All directions should lead us towards Lord Krishna and the real Mahajans, Lord Krishna's pure devotees. We must follow a proper devotee whose activity is top to bottom dedicated to Lord Krishna's service. His practice and lifestyle will be the perfect example of religious life for us, and his guidance will give us the proper understanding of the scriptures. Discussing the scriptures with qualified Vaishnavas, that is, pure devotees, sadhus, is always the best thing for practitioners. Practitioners know something, no doubt, but they do not know everything. When they discuss scriptural matters with love and affection with a qualified sadhu, then they must be benefited by that. Realization of the proper meaning, feeling and everything will come to them. When Krishna wants to reveal transcendental knowledge in your heart through his devotee, it must be revealed. Even you won't be able to check it. So we need connection with Krishna's devotees. Thus the actual question is, how can we recognize a genuine devotee, a true religious person? To whom does Krishna reveal himself? The verse to explain this, which explains the theme of our book, Religion of the Heart, must be Vidvadbihi sevitaha sabdhir nityam advesha ragibihi hridayana bhyan ungyato yodharmastang nibodhata. Manasanghita 2.1. Srila Guru Maharaj once gave a lecture in the library of Dhanbad before a gathering of many highly qualified pandits and wealthy persons. He started his lecture with this verse. He explained that people think religion is found in books and that those books are written in particular languages. But that religion does not actually come from books or languages. Religion is communicated through the transcendental language of heart transaction. All religion presented in scriptures is first revealed in the hearts of rishis, munis and sadhus. After it appears in their hearts, it is transmitted forward from heart to heart, and later may take the form of books. So, what can we say about religion? How much can we understand it? It is a matter of the heart. How can we feel the beauty and understand the glory of religion if our hearts are presently as filthy as a dustbin? Because our hearts are impure, we must try to understand religion from a clean-hearted sadhu. What are the qualities of a sadhu? Vidvadbihi sevitaha sadbhir. A perfect sadhu cleanly and clearly understands the Vedas, the Vedanta, and the essence of their directives, vidvadbihi. He always serves their purpose, sevitaha. He has no deficiency in simplicity, cleanliness, or proper behavior, sadbhir. He has control over his six senses, and he has regard for everyone. His only sadness is the suffering of others. Vedavyas, the author of the Vedic scriptures, was a true sadhu. He saw so many other sadhus and was also praised by so many sadhus. He knew everything about revealed knowledge. But more so than knowledge and even behavior, what did he say was the best quality of a sadhu? Nirmatsranam satam. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.2. The sadhu's heart is completely clean and clear. There is not even a tiny dirty thing within it. This means that the sadhu is never envious of others. Nityam advesha ragibihi. He has no enviousness or anger and holds full love and affection within his heart for everyone. A sadhu with these qualities, who is fully attached to Krishna consciousness, is a real Mahajan, a real leader of humanity, and is always rightly engaged in religious service. Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ataiva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakali Ashanta. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 19149. One who is interested in the mundane, selfish enjoyment, liberation, or supernatural power, is not a sadhu. One who has no desire for selfish enjoyment, who wants to give rather than take, who is always engaged 24 hours a day in serving the desires of the Divine Lord, he is a sadhu. He alone is a truly peaceful, perfect gentleman. Real religion is the beauty that appears within the heart of such a sadhu, the transcendental feeling revealed in such a sadhu's heart through his life of service. Whatever advice and instruction such a sadhu expresses is true religious instruction and can never be harmful to anyone. If we will receive a heart transmission from that type of sadhu and follow his guidance, we must feel the benefit of a truly religious life and come to understand the universal religion of all souls, Jiva Dharma. If anyone will proceed according to the guidance of a pure sadhu, then from that launching pad they will happily fly into the sky of virtue and reach the peak of religion. There is no party spirit or sectarian interest in such pure religion. After Srila Guru Maharaj's lecture, in which he made many of these points about true religion, one very well-to-do man in the audience spoke. In the past we have heard about Vaishnava Dharma, and we considered that Vaishnava Dharma was a branch of Hindu Dharma. But I am so satisfied with what I have heard from Srila Sridhar Maharaj that I now understand that all religious property is present within Vaishnava Dharma. I now know that Vaishnava Dharma is one. It is the true universal religion, and all other dharmas are subparts of Vaishnava Dharma. I feel now that the universal Vaishnava Dharma is the best thing for all jiva souls. Srila Guru Maharaj's style was always very broad and perfect. He was always conscious about what he was doing, and he always presented everything according to the scriptures, politely and with clear logic. Some sannyasis and brahmacharis would present our Param Gurudev's conception, Srila Saraswati Thakur's conception, in a hammering way. But Srila Guru Maharaj was completely different from them. I am fortunate that I have heard many things from Srila Guru Maharaj. I have seen that so many people received divine light from him, and that this light became the light of their life. My life in Sri Chaitanya Sarasatmat with Srila Guru Maharaj was always very restricted. I would not do anything without the permission of Srila Guru Maharaj. At least I can say for myself that I never did anything that Srila Guru Maharaj did not give me permission to do. When the property of Sri Chaitanya Sarasvatmat was in a critical position, I had to go to Kalna every day for 2 months to defend the mat in court. Each day I would travel from the mat to the court in Kalna and return home, but I would not go anywhere else along the way. One day Srila Guru Maharaj asked me, "Have you seen the temple of Gauridas Pandit in Kalna?" I said that I had lived near the temple all my life, but that I had never once seen the temple. Srila Guru Maharaj said, "Next time you go to Kalna, offer your Dandavat Pranam to Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu there." It was only then that I ever visited that temple. Also, I never visited Mahaprabhu's sannyas place in Katwa for 28 years until I received the service order of Srila Guru Maharaj. Our life was very restricted under Srila Guru Maharaj, but we actually never felt any restriction. We always felt everything to be the natural love and affection of Srila Guru Maharaj. We felt that our service life was guided by Srila Guru Maharaj, and we could simply and happily follow his orders. That was the natural law of Sri Chaitanya Sarasvatmat. Everyone would follow the rules automatically with love and affection. It is always best when people will follow religious rules and regulations naturally, with love and affection, with respect and honor. This was the standard we followed in Sri Chaitanya Sarasvatmat from the beginning, and we never felt the necessity for anything else. In that environment, I heard from Srila Guru Maharaj for many years and learned something about the essence of the scriptures, the essence of religion, through him. Thus ends the reading of chapter 2, Heart to Heart Transmission.